The Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Back in, I think it was 1959, second half of the year, I was a high school freshman. And I was in the shop class supply room. I was in that room at the request of Mr. Irvin, our shop teacher. He had sent me there to get some tool. I've forgotten which tool it was, but that's not important. And I thought I was alone in that room. But as I turned toward the door after I picked up the tool, I was confronted by a group of four or five classmates who grabbed my shoulders and pushed me up against the cabinet. And Bill was their spokesman. He said, "We don't like the way you're always helping Mr. Irvin. That's why you get the highest grades. Change your ways or we won't be so gentle the next time." See, bullying is nothing new. And my thoughts towards Bill and the rest of those guys, that they weren't too kind. And I remember wishing for any and all kinds of evil to happen to them for the rest of that school year. Move ahead about 40 years. When I signed the papers selling our family farm, and I shook hands with the new owner, Bill, along with his son. They were the buyer. And my thoughts and intentions towards Bill were very different than they had been 40 years earlier. I wanted the best for him, for his family, for our farm. My heart had been changed. I know it didn't take 40 years. I think that change happened within a year or two after that threatening encounter in the shop building. God had changed my heart by the power of forgiveness and unconditional love. And that change influenced how I saw and treated other people, even people like Bill. Now, as I mentioned before, today is Reformation Sunday. And for Lutherans, Reformation revised thoughts of the 16th century monk Martin Luther and his struggle with the church leadership over the Bible as the Word of God, about God's unconditional love and forgiveness being at the center of salvation, and faith in God's promises rather than in good works to earn salvation. You know, all of these were the center of the Christian life, and that's what Luther, in his teaching and his life and the things that he changed in the church, those were what he was trying to lift up, that it's God's grace and God's love that's at the center of things. And because of all the upheaval Luther and his teachings caused, history notes the Reformation as a time of radical change in Christ's church. But it wasn't Luther, it was God who was at work, changing the church so that human hearts might be changed. And so reformation of the heart, I think, is an appropriate theme as we observe the Reformation. The prophet Jeremiah, in today's first lesson, he teaches us that reformation of the heart means a relationship with God. The relationship is more powerful than knowing about God or knowing what God expects in the way of behavior. Remember what Jeremiah wrote? He says, "No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Now, how does God change our hearts? Well, I know in my life, it's one of the things that God uses to constantly try to keep my heart, my mind, my focus in the right direction are daily disciplines, weekly disciplines, you know, things we do over and over again, like pray each day, to worship each week, to read the Bible, to serve in and beyond a congregation, to be in a caring, open relationship with other Christians, and to give of one's money, time, and talents. You know, these are disciplines, things that we choose to do and that we have to practice over and over and over again. As I said, from personal experience, these disciplines continually reform my heart, break down long-standing barriers of resistance to obeying the commandments, and any hesitancy that I have to receive and practice unconditional forgiveness. Now, they open my eyes to see others as people whom God knows and loves, and people who can experience God's love through me. They give me an awareness of God's blessings to me every day. Yes, knowing God means that God's word becomes part of one's life, one's thought processes, the way one sees and interprets the world. Reformation of the heart also means something else. It means freedom. Jesus says in today's gospel, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." I remember Sally, and she commented once. She said, "I resented my husband, Joe. The resentment went back to some financial mistakes he made when we were first married. We've been trying to catch up ever since. Even though he hasn't made the same mistakes again, that resentment always was in the way of our relationship. I tried to put it out of my mind by my own effort so it wouldn't affect our relationship now, but I couldn't do it." And then during a Bible study, the light went on. My resentment, my not forgiving Joe, was a sin. And sins can be forgiven. What I couldn't do by my effort, Jesus took care of on the cross. What freedom God's forgiveness gives. I'm no longer angry with Joe over things that happened a long time ago. Our marriage and our family life is much more joyful and free. And I am not angry with God for letting us get into that mess. I am free to enjoy today and to see and appreciate the blessings God gives today. And my faith is growing deeper and stronger since I rely on God's power, not my own. What a story, what a witness to the power of forgiveness to give freedom for living with each other today. Yes, reformation of the heart gives freedom. Reformation of the heart gives one more thing. It shifts our focus from the past to the present and the future. You know, the texts in the Jeremiah passage are interesting. When God is speaking through Jeremiah, he says, "This is the covenant I will make." It's not something he's making now. He's promising. He's drawing them into the future. The past is past. The mistakes of the past are forgiven and forgotten. And the successes of the past, they too are in the past. God wants to reform hearts today and tomorrow. For living in the world the way it is today, not the way it was 20 or 10 or 5 or even 1 year ago. You know, in the 16th century, at the time of the Reformation and Martin Luther's work, the printing press was a new invention. You know, Luther's small catechism, Luther's German translation of the Bible, which for many people was the first Bible they could read in their own language. They were printed and distributed inexpensively, relatively, and quickly, because of the wonderful new invention at that time called movable type. Now, today, what we do with computers and word processing programs is just amazing compared to that. But you think about that, each one of those letters had to be put in place to make those printings. Now you just put it down, and if you want to erase it, just push a button and all that stuff happens. We just take that all for granted. But the written word, which was so essential to the Reformation 500 years ago, I don't think it's as central to our future communication as some of the other means of communication that are going on. And I think God wants to use new means to communicate and to celebrate his unconditional love and forgiveness. Last weekend, I was in Farmington Hills at a Synod training event. And as a part of our morning devotions, we viewed a YouTube video. It was a TED Talk. It was delivered by a woman, I think it was in New Orleans earlier this year. It was on the topic of forgiveness and the potential of forgiveness and compassionate listening to break through the barriers that divide our nation so much in our present time. Now, so many faith-building and challenging resources are available on electronic media. You can view that TED Talk on your phone if you want to do that. I'm not that advanced. I still use a computer. But now, there's so much more than Candy Crush Saga and Fortnite available on your phone and your tablet. God is at work through electronic media to touch and reform hearts, and to renew and strengthen the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the people whom God is trying to reach today so God can reform hearts, you know, some are here within this congregation. Many more are out there on the street where you live, working with you, playing alongside of you and with you. And very often these people see and experience the world very differently than you and I might. Especially if we try to see today and tomorrow as being good only if somehow we can repeat and do things the way we did it yesterday. You know, the youth and the young adults at St. John's and congregations everywhere are trying to reach. They connect with each other and the larger world through their electronic devices, primarily their phones. You do the same as I do when our grandchildren visit. You observe. We have the no electronics rule, you know, put the phone away when you come in the house so that we can actually talk to you. And they do. But when they have electronics time, what do? They watch videos on their phones. They use Snapchat. They check Instagram. They text. Church youth ministers tell me that these social media apps are an essential piece of their ministry with today's youth. This past summer, when the Evangelical Lutheran ELCA youth had a mass gathering in Houston, we were able to watch it here. I watched it on a live feed, a live stream on the computer at our house. I watched evening events. And one evening, a very powerful speaker had delivered a powerful message about what's at the heart of the Reformation, about that God loves us and he loves each person no matter what their history is, that God loves them, wants to forgive them, and wants them to be included within his family. And that person ended that talk by encouraging those 30,000 people there to take out their phones and text someone back home and tell them that God loved them just as they are. What a way to use that media. And not only that message, but I wonder how many conversations happened at home after they got back that they were able to talk about what they had heard, you know, the kids that were at that, kids and adults who were at that event, but also that spanned that gap. And if they got home and that person they sent that message to said, hey, I appreciated getting that, if they had a chance to talk to them, give them a witness about God's love and what that meant to them and what they heard and what they believed and what a difference it made for them, it's amazing what can happen when we use the tools that God has given us in ways that are creative, as long as we keep central the message that God has to give. Yes, we've come a long way from the printing press in Martin Luther's century as the major breakthrough and only means of mass communication. You know, we have to be aware of and able to use the best of the new ways and habits of mass communication if we're going to touch the lives of present and future generation, so that God can be about God's business, the reformation of hearts. Just to recap, what that's about, it means that we need to, that God's will is that we know God, not just know about God. That we have freedom from sin. That we live fully in God's present and anticipating God's future. All of those things together is what God wants to do in our lives, in our hearts, so that we can be his people, vibrant and alive, continuing to make a difference in our lives, in our relationships, and in our world. Amen.